Well, good morning. And just to remind us, this is our first Sunday of Advent. And if you want to turn to the person next to you, you might want to say, well, this is what I think Advent is. So 30 seconds, let's go. What's Advent? Okay, did you get some answers from each other there? Great. Now, Advent is our season of waiting and anticipating, of waiting for the good things to come and just going, when's it going to arrive? It's like this morning, the children in our house opened their first windows in their advert calendars, which was great. And they are advert calendars these days, really, aren't they? Which is fantastic. But we wait in Advent, we anticipate Jesus coming. And we think back to his first coming at Christmas time, and we look ahead to his next coming when he comes to make everything new again. And the reading that Jake just did for us was about Jesus coming to earth and uses this great phrase of moving into the neighborhood, of Jesus being amongst us. And as well as being first Sunday of Advent, today is also Mission Sunday. And we're going to think about some of our mission partners around the world and some people who are involved in mission. And to help us kind of think that way, we're going to think about people who have moved from places where they live into new neighborhoods. And the first person who's going to come and help us think about that is actually Ruth. Ruth Downs is going to come up. And the reason we've asked Ruth to come is she works for an organization called...
Interserve, Scotland and Ireland. I do. I'm the chair of the board of an organisation, a mission organisation called Interserve Scotland and Ireland. Hang on, I need to find myself on Scotland first. Here we are. Scotland and Ireland. It was Interserve Scotland until a year ago, and then we merged with the Irish branch and became Interserve Scotland and Ireland. It's part of a much wider global organisation called Interserve International, who have over 800 people working in different parts of the world. So when Gordon asked me to speak, I was thinking about this moved into the neighbourhood, which is indeed a brilliant phrase. I heard another phrase for mission recently, which is mission is round the corner and round the world. Round the corner and round the world. So whoever we are and wherever we are, in whatever neighbourhood we are called to take Jesus into that neighbourhood, whether it's round the corner or round the world. But thinking a bit about round the world, Interserve works particularly in Asia and the Arab world. That's its sort of geographical focus. And these countries are actually very difficult in many cases to be a Christian in. If you're a Christian in these countries, and some of them are pictured up there, you would possibly be completely rejected by your family. If you went to tell your family you were a Christian, they might say, "We never want to see you again." You might be beaten up. You might be put in prison. You might be killed. It's very difficult to be a Christian in some of these countries. And therefore, it's actually sometimes quite difficult to tell stories of what God is doing in these countries, because you could potentially put people in very serious danger if it's heard by the countries where they're living that they are Christians. But I'm going to tell at least a few stories, thinking about what Jesus did when he came to our neighborhood and what we can do then when we move into other neighborhoods. So, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus healed. So, we've got two partners. Now, this is going to test my geography. In Pakistan, which is about here. And they are female doctors. They've been working with women for 15 to 20 years in Pakistan. So they've been there for long enough that they know the language, they know the culture, so they're able to help women, often women who come to have children or who are very sick and who might otherwise basically be left to die or be in significant danger. And our two partners have been able to work for many, many years with women in Pakistan. I'm going to go back to Britain. Jesus, when he came and lived in our neighborhood, he loved children. So, over here, in Thailand, we had a Scottish partner who's just returned, who worked for 4 years in the north of Thailand on the Thai border in child protection. And he set up structures and worked with authorities to try and protect abuses that were happening to children in that area. So he was able to show children and show the community around there that Jesus loved and valued children and that they were worth looking after and protecting. Jesus came to bring peace. In a country here, which I'm not going to name, but in a country where there has been a history of genocide and war, an InterServe partner who's been working there has recently been able to bring together some leaders who have become Christians but used to be very high in the warring factions, who fought against each other and were basically certainly perpetrators of war crimes. And they have gradually been able to bring peace and reconciliation to that group of people who previously were involved in very terrible war but have become Christians and are now slowly working together to bring peace at that level. Jesus loved the marginalized. So over here, about here, InterServe works in many of what you call the Stan countries. So that's Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. And in Kyrgyzstan, we had a partner who went and visited in prisons. And she went to the women's prison very regularly and met with some of the women. And what happened is that many of those women became Christians. And the governor of the prison subsequently said to her that the atmosphere in the prison had changed considerably. There were fewer problems with discipline. The women were caring for each other more. And the governor of the male prison asked if there were any men who could come and visit in the male prison. And this is in a country where Christianity would not be widely accepted. Jesus cared for the poor. Now, I could stand in any number of places here, so all over here. There are many InterServe partners who work with the very poor, either in urban slums or in rural development, through community development, through the provision of food, in all kinds of different ways, and show in these neighbourhoods that are pretty much abandoned by everybody else that Jesus still loves them. Jesus supported justice and integrity. And again, I'll stand over here in China. There are many InterServe partners who work in businesses or who go to work in secular jobs, and their witness is that they try to work without being corrupt. So they try to work in a way that shows the people with whom they're working that they can work with justice and integrity, and you don't have to be corrupt to work in business. And the last one, before I wanted to say one last thing, was that Jesus very fundamentally encouraged his followers to love each other. And one of the things that InterServe, I was recently in Thailand at a big conference for InterServe, and the main thing that we were thinking about is how can we work with the church, with the local church. When InterServe started 150 years ago, in many of these countries, there was no church. There was no Christian church. Now, in every country, there is at least an embryonic church, a little tiny church, some of which are very in danger, some of which you might be looking at literally tens of people in the whole country who, and InterServe, are gradually trying to think, how can we work? Because we are part of that church. We are not separate from that church. InterServe is part of God's church, and we work together to try and find a way to spread Jesus' love in that neighborhood. And we as an organization, and we as a Western church, can learn a very great deal from what happens in churches in persecuted countries, where they are required to be very, very clear about what they believe, because if your life is going to be in danger, or if your family is going to be taken away from you, or if you're going to be put in prison because you say that you belong to Jesus, you have to be sure of what's important, and you have to be sure that you believe what you believe. And there is some enormous courage in these churches and some enormous focus on what is important, and we have much to learn. But just before I finish, I said at the beginning that we are around the corner and around the world. The other thing that we have worked with recently in InterServe is that you realize, and you just need to look around in Glasgow, that the world comes to us. So, starting here in sort of the around here for Pakistan, many Pakistanis and Muslims from this part of the world no longer live in Pakistan. They live here, where we live. So you can work around the world, around your own corner. And that's exactly what Mitch and Rosie do. And Mitch is a partner who's supported by St. Silas. And I hope in the new year, I need to speak to David and Gordon about this, we might be able to hear a bit more directly from Mitch and Rosie about what they do. But they work with Muslim communities who live in Glasgow. So they haven't moved away to the neighbourhood. They've stayed here, but they are working in a neighbourhood of Pakistanis mainly, and Muslim believers who live in Glasgow. And they work to show them God's love. They work to show them all kinds of practical ways. And I heard another story when I was in Thailand about people doing the same thing as Mitch and Rosie, but in Birmingham, working among a Muslim community there. And this particular inter-server had taken care of a lady who had come out of a very violent marriage. And they'd taken care of her in many different ways for quite some time. And a few months after that, this lady had gone back to Pakistan, to a rural village in the middle of nowhere, really, in Pakistan. And the first thing her family had said to her is, "Tell us about these Christians who have looked after you so well." So what he had done by working in his local neighborhood with the Pakistani population is he had spread Jesus' love, not only here, but around the world. And that's what we're called to do. Jesus moved into the neighborhood to bring God's love, and that's what we need to do too.
Thanks, Ruth. Now, we've got something for you guys to do now, which is going to be, I hope, a little bit of fun, because we've got our world map on the floor here. So, first of all, I'd like you to turn to just the person next to you, or maybe your mum and dad if you're with them, and talk about this. Where would you like God to send you? Okay, just a bit of fun in some ways there, but if one of you turns to the other and says, "Actually, this isn't fun, I really think God is calling me to a place," say that as well. And when we've talked about this for a couple of minutes, you can come up, and if you're a little boy or girl, or maybe one of the younger people, you can come up and say, "This is where I think it'd be fun to go." But maybe if you're a grown-up who's feeling a call somewhere, you come up and stand on the map as well, and we'll show you that as well. So just a minute on talking with each other, and then we'll have some people up. Because I think this will reveal an awful lot about my heart, because I'm standing on roughly where I think San Diego is. Because I think San Diego must be the world's most beautiful city, because it's right on the border of Mexico and California. So it's hot and it's sunny, and I want to go there. Shall we pray about that? No. Okay. But does anybody else want to? Oh, Jake, do you want to come up and stand where you want to go? Jake wants to be as far away from me as he can.
Hong Kong.
Whoa, that's grand. Okay. Well, Josh, you've got your hand up. Where do you want to go?
Two places, really.
Well, you can only go to one. Sorry, what island?
I don't know.
What island, Josh?
I have no idea.
Somerset Island.
Somerset Island. It's off the coast of Massachusetts. There we go.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Somerset Island.
Wow. Malcolm, you're up. Where are you going?
Kuwait.
Kuwait. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, over there. You coming? Come on up. Come and stand on the map. Here we go.
Where are you going?
Jamaica.
She knows how bad I am at geography.
Yeah, actually, there aren't any Caribbean
Rona,
islands actually
are you
on
going?
The map.
Spain.
Rona's going to Spain.
Anybody else?
Come on then.
Kai, where are you going?
Brazil.
Do you know where Brazil is?
There.
That's right, you're in the right bit. That's fine. I'm a bit sketchy about South America. Across a bit, down a bit, up a bit. Jamie, where would you like to go? America, the whole of America. You can go over there then. Where are you going?
Oh, here comes Michael.
I want to go to see Minnie Mouse.
To see Minnie Mouse?
Oh,
yes, she needs Jesus too. So Florida's here. Come and stand next to Jamie. So this is where?
Denmark.
Denmark. Fantastic. Any more for any more? What about some grown-ups? Grown-ups, I'll say that again. Yvonne, where are you going?
I'd like to go to Iceland where there are volcanoes.
Excellent. So Yvonne's going to Iceland. Where would you like to go? Anybody else? Ali?
I want to go to Nauru. It's about here.
Always one. Anybody else? Oh, Karis.
Congo.
I want to go to China.
Brilliant. Any other burning desires? Not, we all want to stay in Glasgow.
We all want to stay. So it's a big world, and the truth is that God can move just about anybody, anywhere, if he calls you on that. So actually, Yvonne's still standing here. And we heard from Ruth about the organization she works with, who send people all over the world. Yvonne got sent somewhere. Yes. So, Yvonne, do you want to...
What do I do with this one? Okay. So, yes, so I wanted to go to Iceland where there are volcanoes and ice and snow and stuff. And instead of that, God sent me to Ethiopia, which is Africa. Very beautiful people and actually some stunning scenery. So that's where he sent me. And you can see that's actually the capital. And to be honest, most capitals all over the world look the same. And that's Addis Ababa, which is... got some nice parts to it and some horrible parts too. Okay?
Okay.
Want me to come
over? Oh, yes, please. Yes, sorry, Ivan. Yeah, go on.
Okay. So, Gordon asked me to talk about what it's like to move to another country. And so, when I was thinking about this week, I asked one of my younger friends, Ross Downs, do you want to come up? I asked Ross Downs what he thought it would be like to move to another country. And what did you say? Do you remember? I remember what you said. You said that it was very exciting and you'd be very happy. And every time you went to Kuwait, which is where your cousins live, you got very excited and you were very happy to go because you didn't see them very much. It was a long, long way away. So can you go and stand on Kuwait as well? Can you do that? Yeah, you have to stand right next to me. That's right. Okay, so Ross said he got very happy and very excited when he moved countries. But he just goes for a holiday. And it's really, really exciting when you go for holidays, but you know you're coming back. When you go somewhere to live, it's also very exciting, but it can actually be very frightening. And I do get frightened when I move to other countries. Because I don't know where I'm going to live. You know, what sort of house am I going to have? Where am I going to live? And is anybody going to like me? Am I going to make friends in the new place? And am I going to like the food? Because people eat different food in different countries. But I do know that wherever I go, God is there. And he will show me things about himself. And I think, Karis, you can say that God showed you things about himself in the Congo that you would never learn in Glasgow. So, as I said, the first place God sent me was Ethiopia. And you've got a picture of Ethiopia there. They have very strange food there. David knows because he's just been to Ethiopia. And last night I actually made some Ethiopian food. And I've brought some Ethiopian food here. And if anybody wants to taste it, I think we'll taste it in the Atlantic Ocean. Shall we taste it? Can we move the whole table? Is it possible? Okay, so I'm going to use this sanitizer because at the moment I live in Britain where there's health and safety regulations. There isn't all over the world. You don't have to worry about that in other countries. But here we do. Okay, so here I have some Ethiopian food, and it is called alitcha wat. And the wat means sauce, and the alitcha means it's not very spicy. Okay, that's what it means. And children, what do you think is in this? Can you have a look and see? Yes, you can see carrots. What else can you see?
Potatoes,
that's right. That's what it is. So who would like to try some? You want to try some? Now, it's cold. I haven't reheated it. Ethiopia actually eats a lot of their food cold. In this country, which is a much colder country, we like to eat our food hot. But here in Ethiopia, you eat your food cold quite often, which I don't think tastes as nice, but there we go. So here you are. You can have a fork or a spoon, and you can taste some. And I warn you, it is spicy, even though they say it isn't. Okay.
Can we have bread too?
Yes, have some bread to take the spice away.
It's lunchtime.
Okay, just have a little, and then you can tell everybody else what you think about it.
Very good, nice. Is it that easy open and bread?
No, I bought it from the local supermarket here. Okay. Okay, but I tell you, it took me 2 years to like the food in Ethiopia, and now I like it very, very much. And I lived in Ethiopia for 11 years, and when it came time to leave, I cried, because I had made a lot of very good friends in Ethiopia. Anyway, where do you think God sent me to live next? Any idea? Where do you think?
Alaska?
No, he didn't. Nearly. Any guess?
Here?
No, I then went to live in wonderful America. So I went to live over here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Very, very beautiful city. Really, really lovely. But I cried when I got there because I missed Ethiopia so much. And I didn't actually like living in America initially. It took me 2 years to get to like America. It was so wealthy, and Ethiopia being so poor. And I wanted to shout at all these wealthy people, you've got too much stuff. There are people the other side of the world who don't have anything. And you're caring about your stuff, and your stuff really doesn't matter. It's life that matters. But God was very kind to me, and he did give me friends again, and I still have some really good friends from America. And I learned to like American food as well. So, you round the table, which is the American food that's here that looks like you're already eating?
Chicken.
Yeah! They eat lots and lots of fried chicken, and I really liked the fried chicken. But the big thing that I learned there, as I learned in Ethiopia, was that God was there. And he taught me some big, big lessons there. Believe it or not, he did teach me to be patient. He also taught me to decide to be kind when I didn't want to be. And he taught me to pray and fast. And he taught me to live with people that I didn't actually agree with. And I lived in America for 5 years, and then I came back to Britain. So friends are important. Food is very important, as we can see. And God is the most important. That's all.
Thanks, Yvonne. Now, we've talked about when Ruth was here, she talked about helping people to move to new neighbourhoods, and Yvonne's talked about her experience of moving to a new neighbourhood. Actually, someone from St. Silas right now is living in a new neighbourhood. Susie Reed went to Brazil a few months ago, and she sent us a video of what she's doing and what she's up to. So hopefully, it should work.
Hello from Brazil. I thought it was time that I got in touch to let you know how things are going here and also to thank you for all your support and your prayers of me here. Just to say I'm doing really well. I'm settling in and things are going really well. And I'm getting there with my Portuguese, but obviously we'd still value prayers for that. I've put together a wee film of the different things that I'm involved with here, and I hope that it will just give you a good taste of the people I'm with and the things I'm doing. Just a quick summary, I am now involved with 3 out of the 5 of the Transformer groups, which is working with the local kids who come once a fortnight. I'm actually doing the Bible talk for them, and the rest of the time is often spent in the swimming pool, which I know sounds like a tough job, but you know, it's really great to be able to give time to these kids, and it's quite unusual for them to have an adult to be interested in them and to play with them, so I greatly enjoy being able to do that. Rest of my time is spent cleaning the house, getting it ready for camps, and driving the minibus, and helping with the shopping. So, lovely to be able to send my greetings, and hope to be in touch again. So, for now, ciao.
Going to be one of those mornings. Never mind. So what does it mean for us this morning? Well, the first thing is, some of us might feel called to go around the world and go into what we would say is missions. Some of us might be called to pray a bit more. Hopefully all of us are called to pray a bit more for those that we've heard from this morning and those that we know who are living abroad, sharing God's love with other people. And some of us might be called to financially support those people as well and give in a way that helps them in their ministry. But I want to just think for a very few minutes about what it means for us to move into our neighbourhoods. Now, those of you who know us know that we live in Pollock. This is on the south side of Glasgow. This is a place that really honestly does exist. I know that if you live in the West End, it's really, really scary to go to the south side, Alley Downs. However, it does exist. It's quite a nice place, and we have a house there that we moved into about 8.5 years ago. Now, on the morning that we moved, we'd booked a removal company, and the removal company were going to pack the boxes for us, so it was great. I'd done not very much because the removal company were going to pack the boxes for us. So on the morning of the big move, we packed the kids off to their grandparents. Jake was about a year old, and Josh was 2. So we packed them off. We had the whole day. We were moving in the afternoon. 9 o'clock came, no removal company. 9:15 came, no removal company. 9:30 came, no removal company, at which point we started to get a wee bit worried because nothing was packed. They were going to do all that. We didn't have boxes. We didn't have a van. We didn't have anything. So I phoned them up. No response. 9:45 came, no removal company. Gordon said, right, well, I'll get in the car and I'll drive across to the address that we have for them. Drove across to Woodlands Road to the mailbox shop. They didn't exist in a physical place. So, no removal company. We're supposed to be moving into our new neighbourhood that afternoon. So we phoned everybody that we could think of. Some of you were involved in that epic day. And they came round and they rolled rugs and they dehung pictures and they packed boxes for us. And finally, we managed to get to our new house and moved in to the neighbourhood. Except that's not really what moving into the neighbourhood is all about, is it? We were physically there, but actually there's a little bit more to it than just physically moving into a new house. So I thought we might have a little think just very briefly this morning about what Jesus did when he moved into the neighbourhood, when he put skin on and came to earth as a man. What did he do in moving into the neighbourhood? And Ruth helped us already think about some of the things that Jesus did here on earth, but I want us to think about a further 3 things this morning. The first thing is that Jesus identifies with us completely. In putting on skin, he becomes one of us. We see when he gets baptised that he identifies with us even more. He doesn't have to get baptized, but he chooses to get baptized to identify fully with his people, to say, I want to be like you. I want to understand you. I want you to know that I'm going through the things that you're going through, and I am absolutely God in human form. I am fully man, and I identify with you completely. I am fully moved in to your neighborhood. So how do we do that? How do we identify with the people that we live with in our neighborhoods? Well, it's when you make friends. It's when you speak to the people at the school gate. It's when you have a wee conversation with the man in the corner shop when you get your milk in the morning. It's when you tell them about your life and invite them to tell you about their lives. It's when you decide to hang out on a Friday night with the other school mums at the pub. It's when you decide to go to the gym with the people that live next door. It's all of those things. That's how we identify with the people that are in our neighbourhood. So Jesus identifies with us completely. A second thing is this, he invests in us completely. Jesus had his 12 guys, didn't he? And he invested in them. He spent time with them. What were they called? What was the big Christian word that we use for those 12 guys? Disciples, absolutely. What's a disciple? A disciple is somebody who's following somebody else, essentially. Okay, so those guys followed Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. Jesus invested in them. He talked to them. He was interested in them. He showed them how to do things. He released them into gifts. He showed them how to get into all the different things that he showed them to do. He trained them up so that they could start the church when he went back to heaven a wee bit later. Now, Jesus doesn't ask us actually to do too many things, but one really clear thing that he asks us to do is to make disciples. We are supposed to be disciples that make disciples. How do you make a disciple? You help somebody else to move just a wee bit closer to God. That's it. Being a disciple is not a Christian activity. Being a disciple is any time we help anybody, whether they know God or not, to move just a wee bit closer to God. And that's what Jesus asks us to do. It's as simple as that. So how can we invest in the neighborhood? How can we make disciples in our neighborhoods? Well, it's about really, again, getting to know people. It's about hearing their stories. It's about helping them. It's about answering their questions if they need advice. But more than that, it's about making ourselves vulnerable to getting involved with them as well, so that we share our lives with them as they share their lives with us. And hopefully, in that process, people are helped to move that just a little bit closer to God. So Jesus identifies with us, he invests in us, and the third thing is this, he gets involved with us. I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and I'm reminded that Lazarus died, and Mary and Martha were absolutely gutted, and they'd called for Jesus, and they thought he could solve the problem, but by the time he got to see them, Lazarus was already dead. And Mary and Martha were understandably gutted, and Martha has a whole conversation with Jesus about that. But you know what, then Jesus comes to see Mary. And Mary doesn't really say very much. She says, if you'd been here, things would be different. And Jesus doesn't say, yeah, but, or it's going to be all right, or any of those things. You know what he does? He cries. And the Bible just says, Jesus wept. He was emotionally involved. Not because he didn't know the end of the story, which, by the way, was a kind of happy one at that point, but because he saw the grief of Mary, who he loved, who was his friend, and he was fully emotionally involved with her. He knew what it was to weep with her. And so how can we be really involved with the people in our neighborhoods? Well, it's when you cry with those who are crying. It's when you mourn with those who have lost someone. It's when you laugh with those who are laughing. It's when you celebrate with those who are having great success in something. We get involved with people. We share our hearts. So, Jesus identified, invested, and got involved with us when he moved into the neighborhood. And that's what we're called to do. And those are all really, really simple things, actually, and things that many of us are doing all the time. But I just wanted to encourage us this morning that when we do those things, when we get involved, when we get invested, when we identify fully with those who live around about us, we're doing what Jesus calls us to do. We're being disciples that are making disciples. Now, actually, that's all very well and good, but lots of us live in one place and work in a different place and go to church in a different place. Not too many of us live in this area, but we come to church here. We go and do our leisure activities in other places as well, and that can be quite a challenge. Gordon, for a while, when we first started dating, had a flat in Edinburgh. He worked in Pennycook, which is a wee bit outside of Edinburgh, and he lived most of his life in Glasgow, actually, for obvious reasons. But he slept in Edinburgh. But Gordon never really moved into that neighbourhood because he never put down roots. He never identified, invested, and got involved with the people around about the flat that he was living in. So this morning, the challenge is really for us is how can we really fully move into our neighbourhoods? How can we do more than just sleep in our houses? And so what we wanted to do was just give you a chance to think about that, maybe in the family that you came with this morning, or if you're here with a partner, or if you're here with a flatmate, or if you're here just on your own, but you know that there's other people living in the area, or simply if you want to think about this for yourself. And you should have a discussion sheet. Now, as we do this, we'll have a cup of tea. You can go and get a cup of tea and a Christmassy treat. And we're just going to take some time, probably 10 minutes, to think about this, and hopefully that will really help you as you decide what it is to be fully moved into your neighbourhood. So the first thing is, there's a map of Glasgow and the surrounding area. We'd love you to mark on it where you live physically in your house, but also the other significant places, maybe where you work, where you do leisure activities. Mark them on there and just have a look at whether they're in the same place or whether they're in different places, just to highlight that for you. And then there's a whole heap of questions which we hope will enable you to think about where you live, what's available to you, how you can be involved, and how you can be a disciple that makes disciples in the places where you live. So we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this. There's no children's activity this morning because we feel it's so important that if you're a young person, you get fully involved in this discussion, because it absolutely is to do with you. So we're going to take some few minutes to do this. Please feel free to get a cup of tea and coffee. We'll be doing that now rather than at the end of the service. So there's a station at the back there, there's one here, and there's also the kitchen hatch. And we'll take about 10 minutes just to talk about this stuff with whoever you feel would be helpful. Okay, we would love you to start to draw your wee chats to a close. Hopefully you've had long enough. If not, you could maybe sit down at lunchtime and work through the rest of the sheet together. And hopefully that's given you some ideas of things that you might be able to do just in a small way to really move into your neighbourhood this Christmas in a meaningful way. So what we'd love to do is give you something to take away to remind you of what we've talked about today, and also because it's a traditional kind of Advent thing, we'd like to give you a really simple Christingle this morning. Now, I'm just going to tell you now, it doesn't have the cocktail sticks and the jelly tots. Mainly because I thought cocktail sticks is just a bit of a health and safety disaster waiting to happen. So if you feel that you need to have the cocktail sticks and the jelly tots, if you don't know what I'm talking about, really don't worry about it. But if you need that part to your Christingle, then feel free to create your own when you get home. But we'd love you to come and make one of these. So very quickly, the orange represents the world. The candle represents Jesus, light of the world. And the red ribbon around the center represents Jesus coming to die on the cross so that we could be in relationship with God. So that's what those three things represent. We've got tables at both sides. What we'd love you to do is come out down this way, go to a table, grab an orange, a candle, and ribbon, put it together. If you're here with a family or somebody that you live with, it would be great if you would just take one per household. That would be brilliant. If you're here on your own, then you just wire in, take one for yourself. And then what we're going to do is, once you've made your Christingle, you can just come up to the back, come down the aisle, just to say if any crash is happening, and then we'd love you to light your Christingle from the Advent candle, and then we'll sing together as we close our service. So hopefully this won't be complete chaos, because we're all going to be very ordered about it. Okay, so feel free to go to the sides, grab those three things, one per household, and then come down the middle and light them from the Advent candle. That would be brilliant.